Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Is this on?
Yes.
Okay. I'm glad to be here this morning. For those of you who don't know, I'm Beth Kelsey from up at Sheridan, native South Dakotan, been out here for 5-6 years, so it's becoming home. And it's nice to be back. I was here when life wasn't as much fun as it is right now. Anyway, great to see you all. Announcements. Today it's council meeting at 2 o'clock, and Wednesday at 5 is bell choir. Any other announcements come up since this was printed? Okay. So let us worship God, and in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Do you typically stand?
Yes.
Please stand.
Yes.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with the power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen.
Let us sing the hymn.
Sing our praise, sing
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
The first reading is from the 17th chapter of Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of a cedar. I will set it out. I will break off a tender one from the topmost of its young twigs. I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel, I will plant it, in order that it may produce boughs and bear fruit, and become a noble cedar. Under it, every kind of bird will live. In the shade of it, its branches will nest. Winged winged creatures of every kind. All the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree, I make high the low tree, I dry up the green tree, and make the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will accomplish it. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Today we will read Psalm 92 responsibly. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praise to your name, O Most High.
To your love in the morning, and your faithfulness at night.
On the psaltery and on the lyre, and to the melody of the harp.
For you have been made glad by your acts, O Lord, and I shout for joy because of the works of your hands.
The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, and shall spread abroad like the cedar of Lebanon.
Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God.
They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be green and succulent.
That they may show how upright the Lord is, my rock in whom there is no injustice.
The second reading is from the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, beginning with verse 6. So we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil. For the Lord of Christ urges us on because we are convinced that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died, and he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Once he goes out with the sickle, because the harvest has come. He also said, with what shall we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of the seeds of the earth. And yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated.
Thank you.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Can you hear okay?
Yeah.
Mark wrote his gospel to the Christians living in a chaotic, dangerous time. In the year 70, the Romans destroyed the Jerusalem temple, leaving all Jews, Pharisees, scribes, rabbis, and Christian and Jewish Christians alike, all in despair and disoriented. Throughout Jewish history, you see, God had resided in the temple. The temple was the center of Jewish faith and of Jewish life. And now it was gone. Furthermore, they were living under a fierce, oppressive Roman rule, which placed rigid restrictions on how they could practice their religious faith. What should they do in the face of such oppression? How could this small, young community of Jesus' disciples survive? The Christian community thought they had two options. The first was accommodation. They could surrender to Roman power and obey all laws and do their best to fly below the radar, Roman radar, and obey all laws and just get along. The second option was to resist the Romans, to demand their religious freedom, and to plan to plot to overthrow the Romans. Mark is writing to tell the little Christian community about a third way, the way of Jesus. It involved loving others, serving others, and developing a deep trust in God. The kingdom of God, Jesus says, is the way to authentic and faithful living. Mark chapter 4 is the first extended speech by Jesus in which he discusses the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is a challenge to comprehend, let alone implement, Jesus uses a familiar agricultural metaphor. Think back to when you were in kindergarten or maybe first grade. If you're like me, we did a science experiment whereby we placed a small bean in one of those Dixie cups filled with soil. We watered it, and then for a few days we'd watch and watch and watch, and pretty soon, poof, like magic, that cup filled with dirt turned into something else, something green and thriving, and eventually took over the whole cup. We had a plant. As kindergartners, we thought, wow, how did that happen? A seed planted is a mystery being revealed. It unfolds by its own operation in the soil. Planters may rise and sleep, but a seed's work is automatic. As Jesus said in verse 28, the seed will sprout and grow, the planter knows not how. In Mark 4, Jesus begins teaching the mystery of the kingdom of God. He tells the parable of the sower and the seeds and reminds his listeners that their lamp is not meant to be hid under the bed. And then Jesus warns in verse 24, pay attention to what you hear. For those who have, more will be given, and from those who have nothing, more will be taken. There's judgment in those verses, because the emphasis is on the seed and the sower. We are the seed, Jesus says, and so we are responsible for the result. Do this, Jesus says, and good will happen. Do that, and bad will happen, he says. But unfortunately, that judgment is not present in today's gospel reading. There is no judgment whatsoever in these verses from Mark's gospel. The focus is not on the seed. The focus is not on the sower. The focus is on the soil. The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground. The seed would sprout and grow. The planter knows not how. And likewise, the mustard seed, when planted, is the smallest of seeds, but when it grows into the largest of bushes. There is no human work in these two parables. The seeds grow totally, totally on their own. It appeared that the soil has a power of which the soil itself is not even aware of. Other parables give people a choice. They must choose between good and evil. Other parables give people work to do. But not today's parables. Today, there is absolute trust in the soil. God is like the soil. The parables remind us of God's faithfulness. God is saying once again, I, the Lord, have spoken, I will accomplish it. And that was the promise for the early Christians living under harsh Roman rule. They could live the kingdom of God even under the Romans. And that's the promise for us today. The emergence of the seed in its sequence growth is like the kingdom of God in this sense. It grows mysteriously of its own accord and appears on God's timetable, not ours. The early Christians lived under harsh Roman rule, and Mark assures them that God can be trusted and depended upon despite outward appearances. Jesus invited them to live into the kingdom of God, even in difficult life situations. So what does that mean for us living today? How are we to live? During a discussion on today's gospel reading, Ralph Jacobson, an Old Testament professor at Luther Seminary in the Twin Cities, said that strong, thriving churches, and he doesn't mean just large churches, but small churches that are thriving, have no idea what makes them strong and thriving. They only seek to be as faithful as they can. They fearlessly and faithfully sow the seed, but they know not how it grows. Jacobson calls that the miracle of faith. About a month ago, a business associate gave me two books about the church to read and suggested that we meet for coffee when I had read them. We met this week with a couple of other folk. One of the books described the social trends of the declining church membership, the declining influence of the church, and the increasing number of people who identify themselves as nuns. I asked my friend what he thought would strengthen the church. His answer surprised me. He said, I try to live by example. He went on to say that his children and grandchildren are Christers, Christmas and Easter worshipers only. So he tries to show by example how important God is to him. He attends daily Mass as well as weekly worship. He says grace at every family meal when their family gets together. He talks about his faith. At one point, he looked at me and he said, you know, God is not something we talk about very much. Now, I would venture that my friend's personal example goes beyond his family. I was at a meeting with 25, 30 other people, and he opened the meeting with prayer. He planted the seed, then moved on. He did not till the soil. He did not water it. He knows not how the seed will grow, but he trusts God will accomplish what is necessary and purposeful. That just might be a faithful way to live. Worried about all our social and political turmoil? Worship God, pray, love, and remember and listen to God. I, the Lord, am God. I have spoken. I will accomplish it. Worried about the future of your church? Worship God, pray, love, and remember, I, the Lord, have spoken. I will accomplish it. Worried about your family, an illness, a difficult decision you face? Worship God, pray, love, remember, I, the God, have spoken. I will accomplish it. The seed will sprout. We know not how. Most of Jesus' parables are full of work and judgment. Don't put the lamp under a bed. Those who have much, more will be given. Those who have little, much will be taken. Jesus will separate the sheep from the goats. I would be much more terrified of Mark's gospel were it not for these verses. These verses have absolute trust in God. Whatever the kingdom of God is, it is indeed like that seed that grounds our hope that eventually things will change. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will accomplish it. Let us pray. Holy God, give us the faith and the assurance to know that wherever we are, whatever we do, whatever happens, you have spoken, and you will do for us. We can trust you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please stand as we sing the hymn.
Thank you.
affirm together what we believe using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. Let us come before the triune God in prayer. Holy God, you plant the seeds of faith in every nation. Enliven our church so that the good news of your grace may root and grow throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy, Creator, even the trees, shrubs, and flowers delight in your goodness. From the depths of the soil to the highest mountain, bring forth new plants. Restore growth to places suffering drought. Lord, in your mercy. Judge of nations, we pray for our leaders and those in power. Grant them the ability to regard those under their charge with humility, dedicating their lives in service to others. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Divine Comforter, you show compassion to those in need and provide relief to those who call on you. Bless all who suffer, especially people trapped in cycles of poverty and homelessness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Sovereign God, this house of worship belongs to you. We give thanks and pray for our church musician, Julie. We dedicate to you the joyful noise that comes from this place, the cries of children, the melody of voice and instruments, and songs from our hearts. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray that the Holy Spirit will continue working through our joint call committee and through all who work for the future of our ministry in Buffalo. We pray that the Spirit will move and work through those who seek candidates for our ministry and in the hearts of candidates as well. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Eternal God, we give thanks for our ancestors in the faith who are now at home with you. We look forward to that day when we are reunited in your new creation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your abiding grace.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Do you greet one another?
In our own
Please stand, let's greet. Are you passing the plates?
No.
Okay.
drum on the table.
Offering is an important part of worship because we give of ourselves. So it's important we acknowledge that in the worship service. Let us join in the canticle of thanksgiving. Now, is that a musical setting? And Stan?
Yeah, I don't know if you know it real well, so maybe we should just read it.
Okay, I think I would go for that.
Okay.
Let us give thanks. Salvation belongs to our God, and to Christ the Lamb forever and ever.
Great and wonderful are your deeds, O God of the universe. Just and true are your ways, O ruler of all nations. Who can fail to honor you, Lord, and sing the glory of your name? Salvation belongs to our God, and to Christ the Lamb forever and ever. For you alone are the Holy One, and blessed is the one whose name is the Word of God. All praise and thanks to you, Holy God. Salvation belongs to our God, and to Christ the Lamb, forever and ever.
Let us pray. Praise and thanks to you, O God, for by your word you made all things. You spoke light into darkness, called forth beauty from chaos, and brought life into being. For your word of life, O God,
we give you thanks and praise.
By your word, you called your people Israel to tell of your faithful gifts. Freedom from captivity, water on the desert journey, a pathway home from exile, wisdom for life with you. For your word of life, O God,
we give you thanks and praise.
Through Jesus, your word made flesh. You speak to us and call us to witness. Forgiveness through the cross. Life to those entombed by death. The way of your self-giving love. For your word of life, O God,
we give you thanks and praise.
Send your spirit of truth, O God. Kindle our gifts within us. Renew our faith. Increase our hope. And deepen our love. For the sake of a world in need. Faithful to your word, O God, draw near to all who call on you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. To whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever.
Amen.
And now hear us, God, as we pray together, as your Son taught us. Our Father
in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Please stand for the blessing and the hymn. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Thank you. be to God.
Thank you.